Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop. Welcome to our another Manic Monday here in the fabulous entertainment capital of North America, Las Vegas, Nevada. Woo! And it's true, I do hate Mondays, but this is going to be a special Monday because we're having like our own little Cubs rally here in the studio today.
Like Johnny, we had over at John Matania's place. Crush the Curse.
Actor, dancer, singer Adrian Zemed. Star of Grease. Yeah, I missed you. I was there yesterday.
Probably about a half an hour or so. I think Joe said that you had just been there when I arrived.
Joe Mantegna from Criminal Minds, our friend Joe, had a little rally to crush the curse. So hashtag crush the curse. Not easy to say. Crush the curse. And also in studio, Mike Bryant.
Yeah. Woo!
Who's...
I call him Jor-El.
He came in.
He's Jor-El from the
For those Superman
Krypton.
Fans.
He and his wife spawned Super Cub.
Super Cub. I love
Super
that.
Super Cub.
Love it.
It's Chris.
Adrian came in and said, let me kiss the ring.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. And as always, co-host Jeffrey with a G over
hey,
here.
Everyone.
Let's start it off. We've got to start off talking about what's going on in the NFL with Colin Kaepernick. I call him Colin.
Otherwise known as Colin Kaepernick.
I want to call him Colin Pumpernickel. Because I was calling him Pumpernickel before, remember?
You were definitely calling him Colin.
I was calling him Colin Pumpernickel. So, you don't like it here in the United States. Get the hell out.
But he's not saying he doesn't like it here in the States.
Yeah, he feels oppressed. He's standing up for the oppressed.
He's saying he's using his platform and his celebrity to take a stance about what's going on in this country, specifically towards African Americans.
But isn't that pretty much basically saying that you know, look, I've been in musical theater my entire life, so you know, the tolerance
gay.
Of absolutely anything on the face of the earth. You know, if you're purple, you know, it's if you're polka dot or you know, whatever your sex preferences, whatever your color is, there's absolutely no prejudice whatsoever. So the thing that gets me is that I'm insulted that. Everybody in this country feels is that person that he's saying that's what gets me.
Well, he feels that black people in particular are being oppressed, and that's why he's not standing up for the national anthem.
I understand, but he's accusing every single American of being that way.
You're an athlete. If you're going to be a political activist, then be a political activist. Mike said, run for office.
Yeah.
Run for office somewhere.
And you and I were talking about this morning. My problem with him is, what are you doing off the field with your millions of dollars and your celebrity other than just not standing for the anthem?
Exactly.
Look, right. We're from Chicago, the three of us, and two of us from Boston. And Chicago has 60 to 100 shootings a week. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they're not all shooting cops. It's on the south side of Chicago. And it's black shooting black in Chicago.
Yeah.
So take your millions of dollars and go fix some of the urban areas in town and do some be socially conscious, socially prevalent, and do something about it rather than just not standing up for the national anthem and insulting the country.
Of all the years that I've been a celebrity in from Chicago and everything, and all the athletes that I've known, like Walter Payton, so many of the athletes, they put their money back into Chicago, and they went into the inner city of Chicago and actually went to the boys' clubs.
Ernie Banks, another one.
Of everybody and all. And, you know, that's the way to do it.
Well, Mike and I know what Big Poppy's done in Boston. He is the most philanthropic
Absolutely.
Guy you can meet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're active out in the community, and I think that's the next step for Colin is to go out there and just apply put the love out there.
Now, I asked you this morning, is he going to be the starting QB for the Niners?
I don't even know if he was going to be the starting QB at the beginning of the season. I think he was challenged. I'm not sure who the backup QB is in camp. Bobby, who's the backup QB in San Fran this year? Do you remember?
He doesn't know. All I know is we've got Bill Cutlet in Chicago.
Yeah, the Bears look great, by the way.
Yeah, the Bears are just fabulous.
Yeah, thank God we have the Cubs.
So the other thing is Tony Romo out for 8 to 10 weeks. So the Cowboys.
Tony kaput. Glass Romo.
Tony Glass Boat.
I was just saying off the air. I was saying this to you.
While you were kissing his ring.
Right, Mike. While I was kissing to Mike. That honestly, for his health alone. The man is made of glass at this point. I mean, he just gets touched and a bone is broken. And I don't know if there's something physiological going on, but just
this point,
his own
he's broken the same
health.
Collarbone twice.
Right. Just
he's
for his own health.
Two broken vertebrae.
You have to at a certain point
he's been
point
in the league
say,
a while. You got to think another hit, he could really do some serious damage. Mike, you're a former professional athlete. I mean, there's got to be concern at this point, no?
Absolutely. Yeah, the durability factor of you're seeing guys injured all the time. I mean, you know, that's not a good thing, and they tend to play differently. They will.
Right. They favor different parts of their body.
He's having too much sex in the bedroom. I think that's what it is. married to those supermodels will do it every time. Anyway, if you're near a computer, we also are broadcasting on Facebook at Jonathan Scott LV, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N Scott LV, so you can see what we look like while we're talking. If you're in the car, please continue texting and driving as fast as you can. So we were at the rally for the Cubs yesterday. Crush the curse. Hashtag crush the curse with our friend Joe Montagna. And Joe brought up Ernie Banks. He was talking about who your favorite Cub was of all time, and he brought up number 14.
Just about the nicest human being next to Walter Payton I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, Ernie
and Walter were the angels of Chicago. And
let's play two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I forgot what Joe said about he never. I don't know if he. I'm sure he missed a game, but it was like very limited on how many games Ernie actually missed.
But playing in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was quite a durable player. I mean, when he moved over from shortstop to first base, that certainly changed his entire career in terms of the longevity of it and all. And he was very productive to the moment he retired finally.
So, Mike Bryant, let's bring you into the microphone here, and let's tell our listeners and viewers what you're all about, what you're doing, how you got such a great kid, and what you're doing here in the community.
Well, what I do in the community is I'm a total baseball addict. It's 24/7. I can't get enough of it. I've always been that way.
I'm a food addict.
Yeah, food comas. But no, I teach. I've made it a full-time position now, and I got all kinds of kids. I've got some professionals, including my son. I've got some college D1 players. I got a lot of club players in town, and I'm teaching them how to hit the ball hard, hit it in the air. You know,
now, you were on the radio with us before, didn't you? You were talking about Ted Williams.
Yeah,
last time.
Ted Williams was a big influence on my life, and I didn't really. I needed him when I was younger. I had his book, but it wasn't the same until it started talking to me. And then at about 21 years old, I was able to work with him during spring training, pretty much every morning, 6 a.m. I got down there 10 minutes early. No one was there. Ted Williams was down there with the guy that was going to throw BP. He looks at me. He says, "Bryant, you're late."
Oh, my God.
And I go, I looked at him. I said, "Sir?" And he goes, "If you're not a half an hour early, you're late." And I said, "Okay, I got it, man." Next day, I was there 45 minutes early.
Very cool.
And that's the one thing that he impressed on me from day one. And, you know, he's a field rat. He used to hang around the park for 15 hours. I mean, the guy was there from sun up, sun down, you know, and it was awesome. The guy was like 50 years ahead of the curve. When you look back on his influence on the way...
On the art of hitting.
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah, way ahead of the curve. I mean, he was just... Way ahead of, ahead of the curve.
When you talk about some of the best hitters we've had in the last 30 years, guys like Kirby Puckett, Wade Boggs, they all look to Williams as their influence.
Do you mean ahead of the curve that he studied? He studied it? He studied pitchers? He studied tendencies and
stuff? Prior to 1975, they didn't have hitting instructors.
Wow.
So
I didn't know that.
Think of that.
Think of that. I didn't know that.
Think of that.
So you look at the way these guys hit. If you watch film, they were really, you know, they were critical thinkers. Now, you know, then after 75, we just had a generation of robots. And then it was like, you know, it's all about feel, the game. You know, when you pitch, when you hit. You know, you learn how to feel the movement in your body. You learn how to feel the sensations in the swing so you can execute the positions.
Uh-huh.
Ted was really big at hitting the ball in the air. And it back then, you know, it wasn't against the grain, but people were thinking very differently.
Correct.
And then after 1975, these guys came in, hit the top of the ball, hit the ball on the ground, because AstroTurf, Willie McGee,
right.
You know, all these guys that could run like crazy. And Ted was, you know, he's very concerned because they were, you know, we were a generation of people, you know, learning how to hit.
Bad habits.
With bad habits,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So what happened, we saw all these, you know, guys winning batting titles with the .301 batting average, you know, what Alec Johnson that year, and Yaz did it one year. They could have said it's the year of the pitcher. I say no.
And they were just getting a piece of the ball.
They were just getting a piece of the ball, exactly. Uh-huh. So for the last 15 years, you know, my influence was, you know, hey, when you're an 8-year-old kid, what do you want to do? Okay, what's the number one thing you want to do?
Hit a homer,
right?
Yeah.
So everybody else is like, yeah, you want to teach a kid, yeah, go ahead, hit the ball on the ground to the right side. Let's move that runner over. Whoa, bunt, okay?
Right.
If you want to move the runner, great. But you know, Ted was huge on this. If I'm hitting the ball in the air, I'm going to be all right. That's what he used to say. Hit it hard, hit it in the air. And then he started talking about angles and everything.
And hand placement.
And hand placement and how to get to these positions in the swing. And now I'm 21 years old, and I'm getting hitting instruction for the first time in my life. Okay? You got to understand.
Wow.
You know, I went through high school and college, and it was like, you know, elbow up. You know.
Okay. Right.
Okay, hit the top of the ball. No, I'm not going to do that. That's what my gut was saying because I was respectful to all my coaches. But, no, I want to hit the ball in the air. And you have to hit the bottom of the ball to hit the ball in the air.
Well, I was at Dodger Stadium, front row behind home plate, and I saw Chris put two balls up in the air into the stands.
You know, he's in the top five at his fly ball to ground ball or ratio. Ball in the air to ball in the ground ratio.
Yeah. I can't imagine where he learned that.
Yeah. And you know, I think one of the announcers said at the end of the game when Chapman was throwing the last strikes in the 10th inning when it was tied up on that Friday, everybody in the stadium was standing for the Cubs.
Oh, I seen
and,
that
and,
so many
and
times.
Not, the announcers said, I've never seen this before.
Oh, Mr. Scully?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, amazing. There were probably about, at that point, everybody knows about L.A. The Dodger fans arrive by the third inning and they leave by the seventh inning. It's like a four-inning game for all the Dodger
fans. 10th inning, they're home in bed.
Pretty much, you know, but I beat the traffic. But that night, it was just amazing. I stood up and stared at the stadium, and there were probably about 25,000 people left in the 10th inning, and they were all standing
That's
for the
wild.
Cubs.
When my son was a little guy, I noticed a difference because they were using the aluminum bats. And I wonder how much influence the aluminum over the wood bat has.
Early on, until they fixed them, of course, when Chris was a freshman at USD, that's the year they modified all the aluminum bats and made what they call the BB core.
Correct.
You know,
they don't come off as hard.
Right. They try to simulate wood, but they sacrifice.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. Right.
Basically, it's Viagra for the back.
You're
is
welcome.
What it is.
You're welcome.
So what happened was they made the sweet spot instead of being, you know, like about, you know, three baseballs wide.
I was gonna say eight or nine inches.
Yeah. They shrunk it down to five, so it's a ball and a half. So if you're not hitting balls. You know,
in the right area,
barreling up balls.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to hit the ball far. That's what happened with Loon. But it didn't hurt Chris. It was probably the best thing that ever happened because the results that ended up. Chris ended up leading the nation in home runs that year with 31. The closest guy to him was 19. He out-homered 229 of 296 NCAA schools. He just schools
That's
the
crazy.
entire. Yeah. It was incredible. I mean, it really had shined the light on Chris in terms of how much power he had and how much natural power he had, which I felt all along.
We're talking with Mike Bryant, Adrian Zemed, Jeffrey with a G, Jonathan Scott, Vegas Nonstop. We're going to take our first commercial break. Stay right where you is.
This is the last time this year, so let me hear you. Good and loud. All right, Gary. All one. A two, a three, take me out to the
only the great Harry Carey. Adrian, you must have stories about Harry from times in Chicago.
Oh, my God. Nothing I can actually tell on the air, actually.
Really?
Well, I loved Harry, and he was a great friend. He lived in Palm Springs in the off-season. And he and Dutchie would always, whenever I'd been doing a musical that was touring, he and Dutchie would come to the show and all. But all I remember is the first time I went up into the booth with Harry. It was late in the season, and in Chicago, we all know it gets very cold in Chicago, whether it's April or whether it's October, and all. And you know, the booth is open; it's all open. So you are feeling the weather of Chicago, and I'm looking at Harry, and he's talking to me and everything. And Harry, it's like, I don't know, 40 degrees, and Harry's sweating.
Yeah.
He's sweating.
Yeah.
And
like dripping?
Totally sweating. And I'm going, why is it? And I didn't even want to bring it up on the air as to why he was sweating.
Because he drank
and stuff.
A bottle of Courvoisier.
Well, yeah,
my brother.
There was some
stuff
going on right underneath his little desk there. There was a lot going on underneath there.
Whoa!
<stuff.
laughs> Oh! All right, let me hear you now.
Maybe it wasn't the Courvoisier.
No, it was the Courvoisier, my brother.
That wasn't her name.
That's what Harry liked to drink, the Courvoisier. And, you know, by the seventh inning, he was pretty much unintelligible. You know, Andre Galarraga backwards is Raga Raga Runderay. You know, it was so funny. He would kill me. You know, I told you the story before. I was with WGN, world's greatest newspaper, sports announcer Bob Hillman, and we were going into Harry's restaurant on Kinsey or wherever the hell it is. And there's Harry, big as life, having a bowl of spaghetti and meatballs, and he's got a mouthful of it and one loaded, ready to go in. He goes, "How are you, fellas?" And there's noodles flying everywhere out of his mouth. It was just great. You know, win or lose, tie or draw, I'm a Bud man and I'm a Cub fan. And I hope you are, too. I don't know what happened to Steve Stone.
He's with the White Sox.
White Sox.
He's color commentator for the White Sox right now.
Traitor.
Which is weird.
Traitor.
It's weird. Yeah. You know, he's been there. He was with the Cubs for so long, and I don't understand why that
it's
all
so
happened.
It's so funny. You're not the biggest sports fan, yet your immediate reaction was traitor, traitor.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, we were talking before the show, and if anybody knows, could substantiate this story, it was the Harry Carey story about how he got run out of St.
Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was messing around with Augie Bush's. This is urban legend. Messing around with nothing we say on the show is really factual, except for what Jeffrey says. That he was messing around with Augie Bush's wife, and he came out of a bar one night, and Augie Bush rolled him over with the car. Then he ran over him with the car, and then they threw him out of St. Louis, and he went to Chicago, went with the White Sox first, and then they kissed and made up, and he became a Bud man.
They drove him out of town.
He literally drove him out of town. Yeah. But it didn't get any funnier or bigger than it. But the Cubs have had great announcers. I don't even know who they are now, but Jack Brickhouse before Harry.
That was, you know, I mean, I was, Mike, you don't probably know this, but I grew up five blocks from Wrigley Field. I spent my youth on Waveland and Sheffield Avenue catching, you know, baseballs and
I
stuff.
I sold souvenirs in front of the fire.
And this guy sold souvenirs and stuff like that. So
that's so cool.
Jack Brickhouse was, hey, hey! That
he
was
the
his
hey,
thing.
Hey guy.
You know, Harry was Holy Cow.
Right. Holy Cow!
It was just, it's that area is... You're from Boston, so you understand that neighborhood ballpark and what we've been going through for over, I mean, is it 109 years at this point?
108, 109.
Yeah.
Who's counting?
Too long.
It's 109 at
this point. I went to high school two stops from Fenway.
And I got to tell you, Mike, and I was talking to Joe Mantegna yesterday. I said, I don't know how to feel about this. I am enjoying it. I'm loving it.
Yeah, you're tortured.
But I think of 1969. You know, I was in a body cast after breaking my leg in high school, you know, playing football. And I was looking at the Cubs, and they kept me alive that year. And then all of a sudden, it was collapsed. Then it was 1984.
But if we could back up just a little bit.
Steve Bartman.
We were talking about players staying with the team that they started with.
Back then,
the Cubs, Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, Don Kessinger.
That entire infield.
They stayed the
which
whole...
The last time we've had an infield like we have right now was in 1969.
Yeah,
that's the last time.
Mike, I don't know about you, but in 1996, when I saw Wade Boggs on a horse... Yankee Stadium
killed me.
I wanted to shoot him.
He was on a horse. They shoot horses.
Yeah, when
they
won
the
World Series, he was riding around center field on a horse at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees had broken a 17-18 year streak of they hadn't won since 78.
Right.
And I was living in New York, and I'm watching Wade Boggs win a World Series with the Yankees, and it killed me.
Oh,
killed me.
Yeah, I want to go to Fenway sometime. I've never been to Fenway.
Oh, man.
It's better. They fixed it up really nice, just like they fixed up Wrigley. You guys seen Wrigley lately?
No, I haven't. Oh, I have, been back
if you
in
can
3 years.
It, I have not been there since they put in the big screens and stuff like that.
You are going to be... Yeah. You're going to cry.
Can you get us some tickets?
I got a connection.
There's no question. I'm going to be there in October. You know, so
bring a jacket. Yeah. Bring a jacket.
Yeah, no, a parka. Bring a parka.
That's the other we talked about. If and when I should say, you know, when the Cubs get to play the World Series in Chicago in October, it could snow.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, I'll tell you that. But maybe, you know, just maybe we'll get some kind of Indian summer stuff going on in October in Chicago. It'll be 70 degrees for a month or a week or 2 weeks, just enough.
Oh, I remember Halloween with, like, snow and sleet. Yeah. You know,
I wore my winter jacket underneath my Superman costume, you know, so that's the way you go to, you know, the trick-or-treating in Chicago.
You were a Superman
fan? That's the way that is.
Were you a Superman fan?
Of course I was.
Of course I was. I was in the Superman fan club.
And now I'm a Super Cup fan.
I was a big Superman
guy.
You
were too?
Oh, I jumped out my low-level window on my first floor thinking I could fly with it. I was six.
And yeah, so did George Reed.
Twice, guys. Twice.
You did it twice?
That face planted.
Did you fly?
Windows. Funny. It was a low, remember the low windows?
Oh, right.
You remember those? So, you know, I dove out into the grass and, you know, yeah, George Reeve, right? Remember
I just watched that movie again called Hollywoodland. It was on Netflix. Story of George Reeves and allegedly shot himself in the head because he wasn't Superman. But yeah, I would collect Coke bottles. I'd get, you know, and Saturday go to the candy store in the corner and get a Superman comic book every Saturday. Yeah. So,
Who are the Cubs going to face in the postseason, guys?
I think it's going to be the Dodgers in terms of National League championship.
Not
it's
Washington.
Cubs? No, I think it's going to be.
Okay, what's the wild card thing? If the Cardinals get in, we got to play the Cardinals.
Correct.
I don't want the Cardinals anywhere near the playoffs, okay?
If you want to beat them, if you want to win the World Series, you got to go through the hardest path.
Of course, like
the Red Sox did in 04.
Absolutely. I get that. But you know what? I've been a Red Sox guy for a long, long time. Played for them, minor leaguer, da-da-da-da. The Yankee-Red Sox thing, that's been, you know, that's an addiction. Well, I transferred that addiction.
To the Cubs and Cards.
Because
addiction's over now, sort of.
I've had it with the Cardinals. I'm telling you, I don't know why.
I don't get it either. I don't get it either. Every single time we play the Cardinals, it's like all bets are off.
Yeah.
It's got to be a mental
thing. A lot
thing.
Of it is psychological, sure.
It's got to be a mental
thing. I knew that with the Red Sox,
The Cards are not that good.
Yeah. The year
before the Red Sox won the World Series, remember when Grady Little left Pedro in?
Oh.
And I'm going, what are you doing? And then Aaron Boone off Wakefield.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll lose your mind. I almost crashed my car that night.
I was
14 games ahead.
It was Matsui that got the hit.
You think we're okay?
14 games ahead.
Yeah, we're 14 games ahead.
14 games ahead of St. Louis.
We're okay, but they're still sneaking.
Yeah, but St. Louis owns the second number two wild card right now. If you were to start today, you guys would be playing the Cardinals in the first round.
How far out?
Well, then they'd have to beat the Dodgers.
John, how far out is Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh is 14 and a half, so it's pretty close.
But they're only a half game behind St. Louis.
Right.
And we're playing them tonight for four games.
Correct. And Pittsburgh is playing a lot better now. Yeah. They're coming into the series winning four in a row. You're back in Chicago,
and they brought some kids up from their minor league system to play.
The Cubs could be a little tired too, coming in from the West Coast. They had a tough 1-0 game last night.
Lackey is on the DL right now, I think.
Yeah, I think he's coming back this week.
Right, but you know, Lackey's a little older. You Boston fans, Lester and Lackey.
Theo knows what he's doing.
He's a little older. I think it was a very smart thing to give him some
Lester
rest.
And Lackey.
I really believe those two guys need some rest. Yeah. I think they should bring in like Montgomery is doing incredible right now in terms of his spot starting. They need some rest right now to save it up. They're going to win the division.
Oh, yeah.
They need to save up their stamina now for
they
the playoffs.
They do. But I tell you, Lackey, his role
How old
in
is
the
John
playoffs,
now?
He's 37.
He is, right?
His role in the playoffs is going to be that fourth guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's gonna spell the starter if he gets in trouble within a couple innings.
Arrieta, Lester, Lackey in...
No, Arrieta, Lester, and Hendricks.
Hendricks is hitting. Oh, and Hamill.
Hendricks having
then
the
you
best
got Hamill
season.
And Hamill.
Yeah.
Hamill's doing well.
Yeah.
Except the last couple games, he's had some issues out there and command issues. He's got hammered.
He's all over the place.
But Madden so knows what he's doing. I really believe he's actually seen this. He's going to give
Theo.
Them rest.
It's Uncle Theo.
Well, it's
Uncle
Theo. Theo. It's Theo. You know, and I got to give kudos to the owner. He is a Cubs fan, but he's a smart Cubs fan, and he's done the right thing at every single step.
Ricketts,
and,
right?
He's a delegator, though.
Can you imagine if Theo...
He's not George Steinbrenner, you know?
Can you imagine if Theo reverses the curse and crushes the curse?
Oh, my God. We want Theo in Chicago for 10 years.
Everyone does. Yeah. The man's a genius.
Oh, yeah.
He's a genius.
Shout out to Kurt Wiesner, Robert Snyder, Chef Sergio, and everyone at Big Dogs Draft House at Rancho and Craig. Big Dogs has Front Porch Live music every Thursday, presenting great new young talent. And mark your calendar for Dogtober Beer Festival on October 29th, all at Big Dogs Draft House, Nevada's first craft beer. And it pains me to say this, but join the Big Dogs Packer Fan Club.
Oh!
And for $65 plus tax, they would have to pay me, I think. Club members get a club t-shirt, a stainless steel Big Dogs growler filled with your choice of Big Dogs brews, Packer swag, replica jersey, drawing entries at each game, and two drinks each game. Truly the best deal around for Packer fans. Packers suck. Best place to watch a game west of Lambeau Field. So that's at Big Dogs. Also, if you're in the mood for fine dining, Charlie Palmer's Steak at the Four Seasons is offering a summer local special. Only another couple of more weeks. Hit me up on social media for a $50 gift certificate. Sign up for the weekly Chef's Cut of the Week, which is the best fine dining deal in Las Vegas. A 3-course fixed price steak dinner with bottomless wine for only $58. Reservations required. Visit their website at charliepalmer.com for reservations and more information. We'll take another short commercial break. More with Mike Bryan, Adrian Zemed, Jeffrey with a G here on Vegas Nonstop Ed.
You gave him this?
I don't know. Jonathan Scott. Are we ready? Are we back? We're back? I think we're back. Jonathan Scott back on Vegas Nonstop here at KBAT 920 AM NBC Sports Radio. If you're anywhere near a computer, you can see what we're doing at Facebook Live at my social media site at Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Scott, L-V. So we're here with Mike Bryant, Chris's dad, batting coach here in Las Vegas, Adrian Zemed, actor, dancer, singer. What did you call it? Super Cubs dad?
Super Cub dad, yeah.
Super Cub dad.
You know, let's talk about if there's a young, budding baseball player who wants to get some instruction from you, how do they get a hold of you, and where do you do this?
I'm so accessible. I have a beautiful indoor facility built off the back of my house.
Wow.
Thanks to my son, Chris. It's total state of the art.
Cool. He's bankrolling the deal?
He did. He wrote a check. Awesome. But, I'm so blessed to be able to do that, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
So I get to work at my house. It's a really quiet place. MLB channel on 24/7. I have a website. It's called BryantBaseballAcademy.com. It's operational and somewhat informational. It's brand new. But I get everything, all the contact info is there. You can call me or text me, 702-285-6356.
And that number again.
702-285-6356. And I work with anybody. I've got pro guys. I've got some D1 college guys. I've got a lot of club players, some high school kids. And,
what's the youngest player?
You know, it's pretty amazing that, but a 6-year-old kid that can actually swing it already.
Really?
My good friend Matt Smith, there's your plug, Matt, and his kid Evan.
6 years old?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's raking. He's hitting at 145 feet already. And those little league fences are 200. He's got a little ways to go. You know,
six.
It's six. You should see him swing the bat. I have a 10-year-old. You should see this kid.
Aluminum or wood?
It's aluminum.
Using the aluminum.
Yeah.
This righty or lefty? Kid,
he's a righty, and he's hit a bunch of home runs already. He's got a beautiful swing, and I'm telling you, I turn that pitching machine up to high school speed, and he hits it.
Wow.
At 10. Yep, he's going to be good. Chase Sorley, another one of my good buddies. So those are my two
prodigies.
Yeah, prodigies.
When do you make the transition from the tee to an actual pitch for a kid?
You know, you always he'll tell me when that happens. Usually, you know, with a young kid, you'll spend a lot, you know, three quarters of the time on the tee, and I'll do some front tosses. But I got some kids at six, I'm throwing to them, and I even got them off the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So usually that transition comes pretty quick. Because I want to get the ball moving and get the, you know, that, you know, the, any type of fear that they may have, you know, from being hit just completely out of
it. Isn't that the thing? You know, I coached my kids when they were going through Little League and stuff, and that's the big thing, you know, when they're young, because there's no control for the pitcher.
Right.
And they always get hit, and they're just afraid. They're always, you know, ducking out of the way, whether it's getting anywhere close to them, and that's I would imagine
I'm
that's
sure,
the big fear.
I'm sure you've been plunked a few times. You know why they're afraid.
Absolutely.
Some of them, some of those young kids throw wicked hard.
Wicked hard.
Like they say in Boston.
Yeah.
I would love to know your take. You know, Tommy John is a very good friend. And actually, I'm working on actually doing the Tommy John, Dr. Job story.
Wow.
In terms of a movie right now. Because it's at epidemic proportions right now with the surgery that Tommy had with kids. I'm talking from travel ball to high school to whatever. It's at epidemic proportions. And I was just in L.A. with the medical facility that Dr. Job started, and it's like they're lined out the door, you know, and it's all kids.
Terrible.
Even more so than professional ball players. And every year, how many pro ball players, are getting their Tommy John surgery right now? And Tommy says, you know, they're just not physiologically prepared to throw the speed that they're throwing. And right now, baseball is like its own, you know, monster in that it's all about speed, 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 speed. So the kids in high school are trying to throw 100 miles an hour so they can get a scout to get interested in them. And the coaches need to be coached on the arms, and the parents need to just be educated.
You just touched on it right there. That's, you know, it's shame on the coaches out there. Shame on the parents for not, figuring it out. There's got to be a stern approach here that you know, this is the Major League Baseball community they've got a program in place that make people aware of these situations. You've got to have, you know, Little League is, you know, starting to come around. There's still too much, but you've got to put kids on pitch counts. You've got to involve more kids pitching. It is a tragedy of epic proportions right now. Now, when you're a big leaguer, you know, and you've built your body up to be durable, okay, Jake Arrieta style, okay? You know, it still is not a question of if, it's when. You're going to get hurt at some point. You're going to get hurt, but we're getting so good at the highest levels in the game. It's getting better. It really is. But some guys feel they have to just air it out just to get seen and get signed. I get that, you know, but there's a way there. There is a way there.
Mike, can we talk about the coaching scouting process a little bit, since you touched on it? How did that affect you and your family life, you know, when Chris was getting scouted?
Oh, it was like going through downtown hell.
That bad, huh?
The anxiety level, you know, I finally was able to step back from it and really get Chris really prepared for it and say, look, you can't control that process. Let them control the process. Whatever happens is whatever happens. But yeah, they're always wanting information from you, trying to sign you for the least amount of money. I get it. They got a job to do. But if I had a chance to do it all over again, I would have just said, he's going to college, stop scouting him. He had a deal at USD, he had the scholarship when he was 16 years old. So I would have just cut the process off.
What's the craziest thing that happened?
I don't know about this.
You get a new car parked in front?
For me, not yet. No,
not you.
No, and I'm driving an 07 Hyundai, but my wife got a brand new Ford Explorer for Christmas last year.
Yeah, of course she did.
I don't mind.
You're in the Hyundai?
Yeah, I don't mind it, believe me.
Yeah.
But crazy, you know, in terms of the scouting process, you know, when I found this out later, the Cubs loved Chris from day one. They had a guy at every single one of his practices and workouts and scrimmage games and games from the time he stepped onto the USD's campus, and they were hiding in the bushes, seeing where he went. Yet, you know, after, you know, Chris is dedicated. They knew what they were drafting. Okay, he went back to the dorm, did his homework. They never found anything on him. You know, he was just your model. You know,
I'm sure you prepared him for that as well.
Yeah,
letting
my wife
him know
gets a lot of credit there.
That, well, as parents, you prepared
that's why
him.
She's got the Ford Explorer.
Yeah. Yeah.
As parents, you prepared him that he's going to be under a microscope. Every movie makes
right.
is going to be videotaped or watched
yes.
or heard. So yeah. play your cards right and stay out of trouble.
Mike, and he's prepared.
We talked a few months ago when the season started. You had called in,
yes.
and I was talking to you, and I experienced the celebrity status of the like the I hung out with the 84
oh,
Cubs
man.
And the 85 Super Bowl
but
Bears.
But you were a rock star yourself.
Well, he was a poster. He was a teen idol.
But I hung with these guys, and I think I remember talking to you about it and saying that Chicago is already putting him on a pedestal beyond belief, and it's very difficult.
From day one.
It's very difficult to, it's like you walk into the grocery store, you walk into the a restaurant, you know, it's like the parting of the sea, you know, and you walk in, and it's very, no matter how humble you are, no matter how, it's very difficult to just take all of that in.
It is.
That you're put on this pedestal. You're always under a microscope.
How old is he, 24?
24.
And that's a lot.
I
it's
feel
a
that
thing
every
to
day.
Take.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm going through
you
that
sexy
right now.
Teen idol, you.
No, but think about it. As a young man in a big city, you just want to go out for dinner. It's a fiasco.
It is. Well, you know, there are places you can go where they cover your butt. And
yeah.
Like the Chicago Cut. There you go. Cut. You just got a plug.
yeah.
Great place. But, you know, you're absolutely right, and you've experienced it too, Adrian. Like, and you want to be nice, but you know you want your space, and it's a, you know, when you're young, especially. Yeah, I told Chris at some point you're just going to have to be. You can't let that run your life. You're going to have to do these things.
It's not easy going out with Jonathan. We experience that all the time.
And I looked at those 84 Cubs and the 85 Super Bowl guys and everything, and it actually started to cut into their lives in terms of the fact that they were so much on a pedestal. They expected it everywhere they went, some
right.
of these guys. But you knew that there were the guys who were like Chris that were the students of their games.
Right.
They knew that it wasn't just about what I just did yesterday. It's about what I do tomorrow.
Look at
too.
Derek Jeter, 20 years in New York with the Yankees.
It's about
right?
what I do tomorrow.
No one, did it better than Jeter.
You cannot just sit
I hate
back.
Saying
on
that.
I do. I do too. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, but no one did it better than Jeter.
Yeah,
he walked the line. And
20-year Hall of Famer, multiple All Stars in the biggest city, in the biggest team, in the biggest limelight. Never got in trouble.
Yeah.
No PEDs.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he dated the hottest women in the world, and he was at every hot spot in New York, and you never knew it.
And he didn't get married.
And he just did.
Oh, I know he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He just
good for him.
He just got married about a month ago.
He did the right thing.
Yeah.
Supermodel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He did the right thing. He waited.
But he was in all the hot spots in New York. No one ever knew. That was his deal. You don't let anyone know. And there's also a rumor that anyone went to his house, you had to leave your cell phone up front in a basket.
Yeah, no pictures.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's
no
a great plan. Idea.
Shout out, talking about celebrities, shout out to Robin Leach, 75 years old today.
Ah, happy birthday, Robin.
Champagne, pools, and caviar dreams, Spuds McKenzie. Yeah, Robin, our celebrity reporter.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. If you're looking for something to do tonight, the Tap House has open mic night on West Charleston, and also great buffalo wings and pizza and if you're looking for new talent or just something to do on a Monday night, starts at 7:30. Make some reservations. Also, there's Kelly Clinton's open mic at the Bootlegger on Monday night.
That's always a good time.
Kelly's
She's
fantastic.
Great. She really is.
Yeah.
She's so, you know, I just saw her at the Tuscany a few weeks ago. And
yeah, she's there on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, on Wednesday nights. And she's just, not only is she a terrific singer, but she's very funny.
She's really funny. Her
she's
character
great.
Work is
funny.
Just great.
It's like she's
timing.
Like a, she's like an SNL skit, you know, all night.
Absolutely.
And all. It's just, it's very funny.
Yeah,
and
Joey Spaghetti Moretti.
Yeah.
That's her, my favorite character from Kelly. Shout out to Kelly and Clint. Clint appearing in Between the Lines at the Palazzo Showroom. If you're looking for a great show, new hours on Sunday and Monday, 7 p.m. for Clint Holmes. And then the rest of the week, starting Thursday, I think it is, 9:30 for Clint Holmes. Trent Carlini stars in The King, a tribute to Elvis at the Hooters Hotel and Casino. And our friend Cindy Williams, star of Laverne and Shirley, has been extended through September in the hit show Menopause the Musical with our friend Alan Glist, a producer, and Kathy Glist. Shout out to everybody. We're going to take our last commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on KBAD.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my face.
We're on the mic. Hi, everybody. Hello. Jonathan Scott back with Vegas Nonstop. Mike Bryant has left the building. Thank you, Mike, if you're in the car. Appreciate you. That's a great one. Yeah. Great picture. So Adrian and I both were in Burbank yesterday at Joe Montana's Taste Chicago restaurant. And you got there. You didn't hear what Joe was talking about when we did the interview. But Joe was talking about that if the Cubs win the World Series, baseball should be over.
Pretty much.
Yeah. We should adopt. At that point, we should adopt soccer as the national pastime.
Yeah.
We've done it all. Let's just stop.
Yeah.
Let's just stop. Cubs won the World Series. Let's just stop. Yeah.
Finally, you know, it's happened.
Yeah. That's enough.
And then we can just move on with our lives.
Let's just move on with our lives. It's over. And we'll play soccer at Wrigley Field, or we can call it Wiggly Field. And instead of beer, we'll serve caipirinhas, Brazilian cassaja drinks, or something like that.
Limoncella, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, limoncellas. You know who introduced me to the first limoncello was Dennis Farina? Dennis Farina introduced my first limoncello.
Dennis.
At Topo Gigio's on Wells Street. That's the first time. What a guy he was. A great guy, Dennis Farina.
He truly was.
So football. How much more preseason do we have?
I think we're done.
Are we done with preseason?
Seriously?
One more?
There is one more week.
Thursday? So another Thursday one?
That's crazy because they start playing next week.
The 9th.
The 9th, and then the 11th.
Yeah. Thursday, the
8th. The 11th will be the first regular season Sunday. Yes. Yeah, Thursday is the repeat of the
Super Bowl
teams.
Carolina in Denver. Denver surprising everyone today in naming a starting quarterback not named Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, who was it?
They named, I knew you were going to ask me that.
I never thought that Sanchez was going to be starting anyway.
He's terrible.
I really didn't.
Why would you?
We know Veal Cutlet's going to be starting for the Bears. Veal Cutlet.
Look, I just hope, that he comes around and has a decent season. You know, he owes it to Chicago.
10-6 would be a decent season.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be happy with that, but I think it's going to be more like
I think it's going to be
6-10 is what it's going to be.
If you're listening, they're not going 10-6 or anywhere near it. So just remember that. Yeah.
Well, anyway, had a great week. Went to Redondo Beach, had a great time there. Shout out to Richard Spring hosting me down there. Went on a little boat ride and
Didn't you go Saturday night to the Cosmopolitan or something? That there was this.
No, I didn't go to the Playboy. No. Our friend Sonia was hosting the Playboy Midsummer Night's Dream party. Shout out to Sonia. And I just decided last minute to jump in the car and drive to Cali. I just wanted to be by the beach, you know.
And you didn't go to a Cubs game while they were there?
Mike couldn't get me tickets. He said Chris is only allowed 4 tickets. You know, it's his first year at every away game.
The longer you're in the league, the more tickets you get?
Well, you think he's going to have that problem next year?
I wouldn't think he'd have the problem now.
I wouldn't, but that's what he gets. That's what he gets is 4 tickets. So, no, I didn't go to the Cubby. And I'm not big on Dodger Stadium. The hot dogs aren't as good. The food isn't as good.
They had Chicago dogs for the game.
No way.
They did just for the 3 games. They did Chicago dogs. I had three of them.
I talk about food. Did you eat at Joe's Taste Chicago?
Absolutely.
I had a beef
Italian
sandwich,
beef.
Wet with the jardiniera.
Italian beef. He is the hottest jardiniera in the country.
It did. I was sweating like
you
an Italian in front of the grand jury.
Listening to you two talk about a beef sandwich is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I had that beef on whack. I mean, I'm probably not even saying it right. The buffalo sandwich.
No, you said it right finally. Beef on whack.
All right, great. But the Chicago Italian beef is a thinner cut roast beef.
With the juice on top.
With the juice. It's soaking wet. The whole sandwich is...
They literally dip the entire bun. The whole Vienna... You know,
how does it stay together? The bread falls apart.
It doesn't. It's soggy.
No, it's soggy.
You
eat it soggy.
I could just see
you
inhaling
spoon.
One.
Oh, it's great. It was just... And
the
I had the stuffed pizza, pepperoni pizza at Joe's place. It was great. Shout out to Danny Ram and everybody. The place was packed. It probably was still packed when you got there.
Yeah.
And Joe's theory, again, is after the Cubs win the World Series, baseball's done. Over. That's it. Criminal Minds on Wednesday at 9 o'clock on CBS. Criminal Minds.
Because Joe needs a plug.
Because that show needs a shout-out.
Joe needs a plug.
There's a play. There's a play. And you know this, that Joe wrote.
With Dennis Franz.
He co-wrote it.
Dennis and Joe.
1977.
Yeah.
He was talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was.
When you were live Saturday, he was talking about it.
Yeah.
And Joe also gave the blessing to the Cubs as Fat Tony, which he's been Fat Tony on The Simpsons since the beginning of the show.
Right.
So, we've got a lot going for us, Cubs fans. I think this is going to be the year. And, you know, we've got to do hashtag crush the curse. Well, I'm not saying that anymore.
Did you just say this is going to be the year?
This is going to be the year.
So you're off the...
Yeah, I'm off of that.
Pop fly, ninth inning, two outs.
I'm not going to say it anymore.
I'll tell you why it's going to be the year. Uh-oh. I'll tell you why.
Chris Bryant is why it's going to be
it's
the
gonna
year.
Be, it's,
Cubby
it's
fans,
Chris
I'm
going to
apologize but in advance for what they're saying right now.
It's Ernie. Ernie passing away. Oh. He is sitting right next to God, and he's working it out with God.
He's orchestrating.
He's working it out with God. And even though God says, Ernie, I can do miracles, but come on, it's the Cubs. Ernie's working them. He's working them right now.
One of our viewers, listeners, wants you to say something in Hungarian or Romanian.
I don't know Hungarian.
Or Romanian, then.
La Mulțumesc. You know, long may you live. That's a very typical thing.
How do you say go
thing.
Cubs? Go Cubs. It would be go Cubs.
Te duci Cubbies.
Now, you guys still have to talk to me. You haven't taken me to this restaurant yet that you guys have been talking about for Hungarian food.
Forte.
Forte, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually right up the street here.
It's right near here.
Eastern European
40
delicious.
Seconds? All right. Well, I want to thank Mike Bryant for coming in. Appreciate you, Mike. Chris Bryant, hit him out. Far out.
I'm not a Cubbies fan, but I'd like to see them win it this year, too.
Adrian, anything you want to plug, talk about in general, life?
My sons were here. They sold out over at the Orleans a week ago.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of them.
Well,
they're going to be here at the cannery in the spring.
All right. Awesome. Eat well and party hard, my friends. Go to the website, Jonathan Scott LV, Twitter, Instagram, all that. Eat well, party hard. See you next time.
Woo! Be sure.